Oh, then I know.
I'm sorry. I'm a little late.
What time you have to be on here?
10? Okay. All right. One. Well, as we said, the Truma begins the second half, so to speak, of the Sefer Shmos, which deals in the main with matters relating to the construction of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdosh. It's a phrase we have at the very beginning of the Sedra. Moshe tells Moshe to help an Esau equally Truma. Me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo. Someone who has a desire in his heart, right, in his mind, in his heart. And that phrase appears throughout this whole presentation relating to the Mishkan, that people gave donations based on what's called the diva slave, you know, the desire to give, to support this important cause of building the Mishkan. So there's an interesting discussion when it comes to giving tzedakah in general, not only to build the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, but tzedakah, let's say tzedakah for a shul or for yeshiva or something even for a private person. What is the status if you had, if you only had it belayed, only had it mined, but you never specified? Take a step back. The Chazal say that in a certain sense, a neder tzedakah, a pledge to tzedakah, is a neder. In fact, a lot of times people get an aliyah, and they make a mishaberech afterwards, right? And the mishaberech, sometimes they call it schnuttering. Have you heard that expression? Schnuttering or schnuttering, never. I mean, because sometimes you say in the text, you make a mishaberech, babur shenodar, so-and-so. Right? Schnutter, shenodar. It became a verb. It's schnuttering. You know, the gabbai is schnuttering. He's getting, this guy wants to, you know, make a mishaberech for his mother-in-law to give $100 to the shul, right? So, anyway, it has the status of a neder. So certainly, if you verbalize it, then you have to keep that neder. But it could well be, we know that when it comes to matters of kachim, so even a mental commitment, even believe, even a mental commitment counts. So that's some discussion whether that's true as well by a tzedakah pledge. Even if you make a mental pledge to give to tzedakah, you never said it, I never verbalized it. So therefore, that's a question. But some assume it's discussion of Shulchan Aruch. Hilchot tzedakah found in Yoredeya, in the Reish Nuns of Yoredeya. And there's some discussion, or more, that even a machshava can count as a pledge for tzedakah. It's interesting for that reason. Rav Soloveitchik made a suggestion, you know, sometimes a person gets an aliyah. And he gets an aliyah on Shabbat, they give him after. But next week, Parsha Zohar, the last week we had 2 weeks at Aseret HaDibros, they give him a very choshev aliyah. So a person's in a very jolly mood, a very cheerful mood, he got a fancy aliyah. So he decides he's going to give $100 to the shul, right? You make a mishaberech, and the gabbai says babur shenadar, and a lot of times people say tzedakah. You ever hear that? Pay hamatana leveis haknesses, right? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, you know what? It's better to specify it. Say the amount. Why? Because otherwise, the guy may say he has mind to give $100 to tzedakah, right? Because right now he's in a good mood. He just had the big aliyah. So he's having money. He says no, shenadar matana leveis haknesses. Now in a week and a half, we sit down to write out the check. Think to yourself, well, I never said I would give $100, you know. Now he's not in such a cheerful mood, so I'll give $25, also good. Possibly violate that commitment. So therefore, as Havishu said, say the amount. And that way you'll be sure to do it. What's also interesting, though, we have a special thing when it comes to tzedakah. Ordinarily, we're not permitted to ask for a reward for mitzvahs. You're not allowed to do it. I can't say, oh, today I put on tefillin, therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, do X, Y, and Z. Right? Lo sinasinus Hashem. We don't test Hashem. We're not allowed to ask for reward. Mitzvahs give rewards. We believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu ultimately give the person what he deserves and so on. But you're not allowed to request a reward for a mitzvah. Say, this Pesach, I'm going to eat matzah to Seder, and therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. It doesn't work like that. It's not like a tit-for-tat arrangement. However, there's one notable exception to that, and that is tzedakah. And tzedakah, because there's a pasuk and Navi, the Gemara quotes in Tanya, a pasuk and Navi, which actually is from the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGolah. It says, "Uvechanunin abezos, test me, give tzedakah, test me. I'm going to open up the gates of the windows in heaven. I'll give you such a tremendous bracha." So b'chanuni, he'll test me. So one mitzvah we are allowed to ask a reward is tzedakah. So it's interesting. That's our, I mentioned to you, that's our Soloveitchik thought, that sometimes they make a mishaberech, most of the time, most of the Siddurim print it that way. The guy gets an aliyah. Okay? We don't do it on weekdays, but on Shabbos Yom Tov, right? Mishaberech, Then we say so and so ben so and so. Mishaberech should bless him. Who yivarech this guy? Why? Bavur she'ol al Torah. What do you mean bavur she'ol al Torah? Because you got Aliyah, therefore you should get it. We should give him a bracha. And then it says bischar zeh kodesh baruch hu yishmereu v'atzel. So he thought, again, it's not the end of the world. That's how most of them print it. But if Salvation thought, maybe that's not the right thing to do, because we're not asking for, we're not supposed to ask for reward. The guy got Aliyah, it's a nice mitzvah, he was motzi the tzibur, brachas and so on, ratzalini, but you don't ask for reward. That's why I suggested to the guy by my shul, it just says, Mishaberech so-and-so, not Babur Sha'ala, just Sha'ala la Torah. Akash Baruch should give a bracha. Not because he got Aliyah. This person just had Aliyah, and Akash Baruch Yishmereh. Not Bischar is Akash Baruch. However, the second Mishaberech that some people make, where they make mention the family and the children, the grandchildren, and make all the names. You know, there usually they ask. They're the first. I don't know how it is in your shuls, but most shuls, my shul, the first Mishaberech is automatic. Okay. The second one depends whether the guy who's an Ola asks for the second Mishaberech. And ask the implication is what? I'm going to give a contribution. So then the second Mishaberech, you can say Mishaberech, his mother and his grandfather and his children, right? There it's because Bavur, Shenodar, X amount to Tzedakah, or Baton of his Akhnes, I said before, maybe you should spell it out. Then you can say, Bishar Zeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there you're allowed to ask the reward. One last Ha'ara, a lot of times you make a Mishaberech for a Chole. And they give money, right? People give, you have Rachman Latzan in the family, someone who's sick or a good friend. So you say Mishaberech for the Chola, and they give Tzedakah. But the problem is the way they do it now, not everybody's giving Tzedakah. And I just mentioned names, so it's also probably better now not to say Mishaberech, just Mishaberech. And everyone inserts the name, right? Everyone inserts the name. And just say Shehatzibur, not Bavur, just Shehatzibur Mispal and Bavur. And Tzibur is praying for them. Finally, as the side of Yaakov Emden has a tshuva, he objects. He said, we shouldn't really be saying such a Mishaberech on Shabbos, on Yontif, unless the person's deathly ill right now. It's tam, a person who's sick. On Shabbos, we don't usually say personal tefillahs, right? So if a person's right now, an emergency situation, sometimes you have that, so then, okay, so then you can make the Mishaberech on Shabbos. But he said, if it were up to me, I would stop the Mishaberech for a Chola unless somebody's mamish in Sakana right now. But he said, what can I do? I can't stop it. You know, the Minigan Chayso is a Minig. But okay, but that's a Shabbos issue. But there, if you're going to give stuck, you can save these highs. If you don't, it's probably better not to say. Again, I don't think you should go and make a big deal about it in Shul, let the rabbi decide. But technically speaking, it's more correct. One, there's a Ka'ara, a Drush. So the Torah says, and this we said, to the building of the Aron. Right. So the Aron, really Rashi explains, maybe you remember, there's sort of like three different Aronis, one inside, it was made out of wood, okay, but then it was gold on the inside, and gold on the outside, right? So it was gold, wood, gold, right? So gold overlay. So several questions. One is, what's the idea of having wood on the inside? Why don't you just make the whole thing out of gold? You're going to overlay it all with gold anyway, make the whole thing out of gold. So one thing is to remind somebody, remind the person, as golden as you are, inside your wood, right? A person shouldn't get too haughty, too conceited and full of himself. You know what I mean? We accomplish good things, even the Aron. The inside was plain old wood, right? It looked shiny, it looked beautiful. It was beautiful, but that's one thing. Second thing is, even though the Medrash says that the Aron kind of carried itself, but strictly speaking, who's supposed to carry the Aron? Right, the Kibbutz Kos, right, would carry the Aron. Metal is pretty heavy. Metal is heavier than wood. Okay, so gold's not the heaviest metal, but it's a heavy metal. So therefore, it's very nice that you want to be gold, but not on somebody else's back. Right, someone else is going to have to carry you? That's not right. Because Baruch Hu, the Aron was lighter weight. It was wood. It was light. It was gold on the inside and the outside. But inside was wood to make it a little easier for those who were carrying. Again, the Medrash says the Aron sort of floated by itself. But leaving out the Medrash, so it's the same thing. A person wants to be gold, wants to be shiny and attractive and do good things, is great. Can't do that if it's harder for somebody else. You don't make yourself better by climbing over and stepping on somebody else. The third idea is that we can ask a question. Okay, so why did the inside need to be gold? just make the outside gold. The inside wood, you know, why was there that inner one? It had to be overlaid with gold, both the inside and the outside. Never opened, right? The Aron had the luchos inside. It was in the Mishkan, the base of Mikdash later. So what they have to have gold on the inside? You know, in my house right now, my wife's doing some renovation. Not building more, but just renovation and bathroom. Anyway, so when you figure out, if you're doing renovation, what happens not to be doing in the basement? But usually you're not going to put carpeting in your boiler room, right? Or you're trying to pick out nice wallpaper, nice paint. That's the part of the basement you use. The back boiler room, you know, we just have some machines, and air conditioning units or whatever. You don't bother painting that. Why not? No good in there. Nobody sees anyway. So we're going to waste money on that for, right? The part that people see, so then you paint it, you make it look nice. But the inside, the back room, no one goes in there. Once in a while, a guy comes to repair something. You don't have to spend money on carpeting or wallpapering or painting the boiler room or the storage room. So why did they make the inside of the Aron gold? So that's the important lesson that a person has to be tocho kibaro. If you're projecting yourself as one kind of person with gold on the outside, you got to be gold on the inside also. It has to be, you have to be, you're in your tocho kibaro. The Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel, remember Rabbi Gamliel was impeached? You learned that Gemara in Brachos, right? Rabbi Gamliel was impeached, temporarily impeached, and Elazar ben Azariah took over. Rabbi Gamliel had very exacting standards. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over, so all of a sudden they brought hundreds more chairs and benches into the Beis Medrash, because Rabbi Gamliel didn't, his admissions, Bechina, you know, when he met with the students to come into the yeshiva, part of his admissions, Bechina, was not just how many Gemaras, you know, or Mishnayos, you know, his character. Are you Tocho Gemara? You want to make sure the people who came into his Beis Medrash were the inside like the outside, very big, very exacting standard. You know, are we always sincere on the inside? I don't speak to anybody here, but sometimes I'm not, right? Sometimes, so therefore, Rabbi Gamliel was very strict, but the lesson of the Aron is you're going to be gold on the outside, so work very hard to make you maybe wood in the sense of not stepping on other people, remembering humility, but self. If you're going to be somebody who projects a certain outer image, then make sure you're like that on the inside as well. Okay.